You're listening to The Profile.
Welcome to The Profile podcast. God calls us to use our influence to share his love and goodness. For some, this is in leadership. I'm Andy Peck, and for the past 19 years, I've been interviewing Christians to find out how to lead better. Taking the initiative isn't always easy, so I hope you'll benefit from this latest conversation. The Profile podcast is brought to you by Premier Christianity magazine. Subscribe today and get full online access and the print magazine every month at premierchristianity.com. What differences have you noticed in the style and approach of leadership in your local church in the last decade? My suspicion is that you may be thinking none or not a lot. Personnel may have changed, but the overall approach and direction is much the same. Well, this week I'm delighted to welcome back on the show Kate Coleman. She's the founding director of Next Leadership, which aims to, in its words, transform leadership by equipping leaders to serve well in today and tomorrow's world. She draws from 35 years of leadership experience in the church, charity, voluntary and business sectors to write her latest book, Metamorph, Transforming Your Life and Leadership, Inspired Wisdom from the Extraordinary Ordinary People of the Bible. And I'm delighted that she joins me to talk about some of the themes of the book as we consider how our leadership approaches need to be changed. So welcome back to the Leadership Show, Kate.
Thanks, Andy. It's a real privilege to be here with you reflecting on all things leadership and Metamorph in particular.
Excellent. Good. Well, the book looks at many themes and we can only touch on some and encourage leaders to buy the book and look further. We'll give the details at the end. It's 279 pages long, has some rich and thoughtful reflection on the Bible and the challenges we face leading as Christians today. But you start by explaining that the book was started in 2022 and came out of a time of great personal challenge.
That's right, Andy. I've been around for long enough to know that intense seasons come and go when it comes to life and leadership. But 2022 was a very special season. It seemed it was like a deluge of a season, as if things were coming at me from every angle, spiritual, emotional, physical, mental, material, financial, you know, the whole thing. And no sooner had I dealt with one thing, something else was happening, struggling just to catch my breath. That year, everything that could go wrong kind of went wrong. With the life and work and ministry, relationships, family, or everything. We experienced some, myself and my colleague experienced some death in terms of friends and family, bereavement. We'd had some relational challenges. And out of what seemed to be nowhere, we found ourselves both being fast-tracked into five mostly major surgeries between us within 2022. And this was during the height of the pandemic as well. There was also a whole bunch of stuff happening globally. The fallout from George Floyd, multiple leadership failures across the whole spectrum of the Christian world, and the church struggling to pivot to the so-called new normal. That was a phrase, wasn't it? You couldn't have written it, except, of course, I did. So, and out of all of that turmoil, Metamorph was sown. The seeds to that were sown. But it's probably worth me saying that 2022 was more like a catalyst. You know, I kind of felt like God got me into a place where in the midst of all of that crisis and turmoil, God got my attention in a way that might have been difficult for God to have got it any other time. And it was as if all the stuff I'd been thinking about for years, writing about, praying about, talking about, all suddenly began to come together. And it was just like a catalytic moment, God preparing me to say something. And Metamorph was the thing I said. So, out of all of that stuff. And, this is often the way that God works. In those moments of crisis, not that God creates the crisis, but in those moments of crisis, God gets your attention, and the things that are really important become really clear very quickly.
So tell us about this word metamorph,
yeah. Kate. Thank you. Do you mind if I go a bit New Testament Greek on you?
Of course. We're up for that.
That's great. Metamorph is drawn from a word we find all over the New Testament, an idea we find all through the Bible. Most Christians are familiar with the idea of metanoia. We usually translate that as repentance. It's an ability to literally change our minds and our orientation, our understanding. And in leadership, you have to do a lot of that because you have to stay open to new ways of thinking about things. But Christians aren't so familiar with the other Greek word in the Christian metaverse, you know, what I call the Christian metaverse. And the other word is metamorphosis, which is all about transformation. And it's impossible to have metanoia without metamorphosis. It's impossible to have one without the other. But we often diminish metanoia to a change of opinion and then get surprised that metamorphosis doesn't always follow. I know that when many people think about metamorphosis, they think about caterpillars turning into butterflies. It's the same idea. We're also supposed to be one thing being radically, fundamentally transformed into something different. And I believe that the kind of leadership that's needed in the 21st century is metamorphic. It's transformed and transforming leadership. So metamorph is my shorthand for leaders who do that, who take time to ensure that they themselves are being transformed so that they can be truly transformative. Lead from transformation, shorthand, lead from transformation for transformation. That's the shorthand of it. So I believe, you know, Christians should understand this more than anyone else, that we need both of those things. Somehow we've lost sight of some of that. And in leadership, it's really very, very necessary.
Yeah, so I mean, a caterpillar doesn't just think about being a butterfly, it actually
Absolutely.
Becomes one. Yes.
So
early in the book, Kate, you challenged a number of ideas we may have, notably that leadership is about knowledge and top-down hierarchy, and you believe leaders of tomorrow need to be very different.
Absolutely, yeah. I believe that we need to see the potential for leadership everywhere, in every layer, in every kind of person. We need to find ways of drawing it out of people. Often leadership theory and practice has largely been shaped by one particular kind of human, and it's got us to one particular place in history. For Christians, we're all called to be changed, and we're all called to be involved in the process of bringing about change for others and in others. Is the basis of becoming a disciple of Jesus and making disciples for Jesus. It's the same principle. We don't just need existing leaders who are prepared to be different. We actually literally need many different kinds of leaders, and we need to recognize them, whoever they are, and draw their ability out. So this whole thing about hierarchy and leadership being often rooted in knowledge. So, you know, we often celebrate how much leaders know, even the way that we train leaders. We celebrate what they know and what leaders accomplish and achieve rather than who leaders are and who they're becoming, which I think the shift needs to head in that direction. So we have this notion that the more we cram into people in terms of education, the better they'll lead. And the hard evidence isn't on the side of that. I'm not saying that we don't need information and education. I'm saying we need transformation. We need metamorphosis. The Bible never advocates for intellect, being smart and being a leader are not the same thing. And judging from Jesus' choice of disciples, he thought so too, if I dare say.
Indeed, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Self-reflection, of course, is something that's required of a leader. You use the example of Jethro asking Moses, what is it that you are doing? Great question.
Yeah, I believe that every leader needs to be curious enough to invite the question, what is this you are doing? And we need to invite it from outside of us, you know. So it's one thing to be curious ourselves and to understand what we think we're doing, but we actually need to invite the question from outside. We need to open ourselves up to those who are impacted by our leadership, as well as those who are observers of our leadership, so that they can challenge us when we think we're doing something, but they think we're doing something else. We need to hear that. So, you know, the situation with Moses is a classic one. You know, he believed that what he was doing by making all the decisions and giving all the advice and making all the judgments was actually helping everyone. And it took Jethro to tell him or to show him that it was harming everyone and it was also harming Moses. And sometimes we just need people who will do that for us.
We're just touching on various themes, Kate, in the book. There's tons for leaders to investigate. But you go on later in the book to explore other key questions leaders need to be asking as they decide what to give time to. And I love the question which you used the life of Esther to illustrate. Why me? Why here? And why this? And I love that. And maybe you could unpack that a little bit for us.
Yeah, I'd love to. So those kind of questions, you know, Jesus loved asking questions more than he liked answering them, apparently. You know, when you actually look at what he did, you'll see that. So these questions are really designed to help us to be purposeful as leaders, so that we are able to say yes in the right places and to the right sorts of things and no to the right sorts of things and actually become better at managing our time and all sorts of other things and our energy. But, you know, why me? The first question there helps us really to explore our uniqueness as leaders, why we lead the way we lead and how we should be leading. Why here helps us really to understand our context and the context of our leadership better, gets us really to reflect on that and on what might be needed from us as leaders now. And why this helps us to identify our calling. It helps us to remember that that everything that we do, regardless of what sort of work we do, regardless of what kind of church or community or family or neighborhood we live in, there is always an opportunity to let God's light shine brightly through our leadership. So, you know, those three questions in particular help us to stay on track. There is a fourth question, which is why now, which also helps us to stay on track.
So sorry, yes, I missed out the why now, which is quite important. Sorry.
Yes, embrace God's timing. That's the one.
Absolutely. Great. Well, and indeed for Esther, that it was for such a time as this was the kind of, yeah, one of the more famous verses in the whole of the book. Yeah. Exactly. Now, Kate, we don't have time to unpack all your observations on how, as a Black woman, you've faced racism and misogyny within the church. And this certainly merits a show all on its own in the future, I'm sure. So listeners to the show will come from all kind of context, but presumably you would urge white male leaders to wise up to ways in which their approach and behavior may have blind spots.
Yeah. Dare I say you've taken the words out of my mouth when you say that. Yeah, you know, the reality is we all have blind spots. We all have biases. The problem is we don't always think we do or recognize how our blind spots and biases impact on the lives of others. And my experience has often been, I've been on the receiving end of people who are not aware, largely not aware, of how their biases and blind spots impact on my life or on the lives of other people of color. So by and large, you know, people of color, leaders of color have gotten used to a leadership landscape that's been pretty much created for whiteness, if you'll allow me to use that phrase. Sure. And they're often being expected to assimilate to that. But one thing I love about Philippians 2, for example, it's a good place to think about, is the great reminder that true leadership is exercised through what I call incarnational practice. And it's what Jesus does for us. And actually, we're encouraged in Philippians 2 to do it as well. But what I love about the way that Jesus does this is he doesn't just try to see through our lens. He becomes human and actually experiences our realities. So for white male leaders who have not been used to doing this, not all white male leaders like that, and you know, I appreciate, very much appreciate those who are not, but for white male leaders who have never considered another lens to look through, either life or leadership, any other lens than their own reality, this is a challenge. Philippians 2 is a challenge to learn how, if you're going to lead a diverse group of people, learn how to step into their shoes, learn how to see through their lens, and learn how to understand how some of the kind of challenges they face, both in life and in leadership. That's what a metamorph is, you know. Is somebody who can make that shift and those changes. And I believe the best leaders for the 21st century are going to be those who don't just know how to expand their imagination. They're going to be those who know how to expand their experience. And this is one way to do it.
Yes, and too often the leadership of groups is too monochrome because of that lack of capacity. So people may say, well, I don't have a diverse congregation. Well, maybe that's because you have blind spots you didn't realize. So
absolutely. Well, you're doing it all the time, Andy. You've taken the words out of my mouth.
Well, you're very gracious of you. What would you say to black female leaders who've suffered as you have?
Yeah, I think I'd say at least three things. I'd say the first thing is that God sees you. God sees you when you feel invisible. God's got you when you feel wobbly. God backs you even when you don't back yourself, but learn to back yourself. So that would be the first thing I'd say. God sees you. The second thing I'd say is that find your tribe, find your crew, your people, and then hold tight. Make sure they're diverse. They'll help you to do what you need to do and get where you need to get to. And I think the third thing I would say is do your own growing. Don't allow what happens to you to stunt your growth, or to get you stuck or trapped in, well, like a perpetual chrysalis, you know, to get stuck like a butterfly, but can't get out. Remember that you're God's butterfly in the making. And your healing will come as you embrace that, but also as you embrace the leadership God has called you to.
Well, wonderful. And you've been a role model in that respect. So thank you. The last part of the book, Kate, is intentionally encouraging what you call disrupted disruptors. So you believe the church sticks to the safe and predictable when a mission is calling, and you talk about the upper room, that the disciples didn't stay in the upper room, wonderful though the upper room was.
Absolutely. There is this need for what I call disrupted disruptors. You know, people who are diverse, the only way you get new thinking into leadership is by having new thinkers and new imaginations, fresh perspectives. So when I'm thinking of disrupted disruptors, that's partly what I'm thinking about. But that whole piece around the upper room, and you kind of hinted at it right at the outset, you know, so much of What leaders need to do today requires some form of change management, for want of a better way of putting it. Disruptors aren't just ready for change. They anticipate change. They actively drive change. People in our churches, the human condition is notorious for wanting things to stay the same. And it shows sometimes in the kind of leaders we choose to elevate and to advance. It shows in the stuff we put on repeat. And that's what I mean by the upper room. It's the place we can get stuck in. But actually in Acts 2, it's the place that the disciples spilled out of. They had to leave that place. And we need to leave the place, even the last place we were sent to. We need to leave. We need to move forward. If we're going to have churches that are fit for tomorrow rather than yesterday, then we need to do what Christianity has always done, and that's adapt for a new context and new challenges and make room for those who don't fit our ideas, rather than making room for the usual suspects, which is what we tend to do in leadership. So disruptors, let them come. They are part of the metamorphic change, if you like. They are metamorphs.
Kate, the book is, I love the way you go into depth in some of your biblical reflections. And I'd never seen before the way in which you contrast Peter, who needs a vision and to go to Cornelius, and Philip, of course, who'd already been working with in a kind of semi-cross-culture way in looking after widows. He was sent to the Ethiopian eunuch and was therefore ready for that challenge.
Absolutely, yeah. And, we're all growing from different places, you know. So Peter had his journey he had to make, and he needed a very special kind of prescription for his his ailments, for his ails, and for his fixed ways of thinking about people and even about himself. And Philip had that flexibility because he'd possibly been on the receiving end of some, you know, he was one of the seven, you know, he'd possibly been on the receiving end. He'd seen some of the challenges that arise when justice isn't properly exercised, things aren't done right within a church context. And he knew what injustice looked like for those widows who weren't receiving what they needed to receive. So, yeah, I mean, it's God calls all kinds of people to lead, and each of us needs the journey we need to get there.
Kate, of all the themes that you covered in the book, which was most on your heart to share?
Wow. Well, obviously I covered all the themes, but there's nothing in the book that I don't love, but the things I'm feeling are particularly needed today is the themes around identity, particularly that retelling of the Moses story, the need to ensure that we are not what the book calls implicated subjects. It's that we're not actually undoing the work that God wants to do through the blind spots we have, or through the approaches we have, or through the paradigms and frameworks, or the homogeneity we have. But I also love that right at the end, the spilling out of the disciples out of that upper room and transforming the world as they begin to walk out. They're learning. People around them are learning. Transformation is happening. I want people to remember that we were created for transformation. I want people to remember that's a caterpillar to butterfly journey. We're made for that. We're not made to get stuck someplace. We are en route. And as we take that journey, we change things around us. It's inevitable that things will change if we change. But if we just try and change stuff, that's limited. That's limited. We only get so far. So, yeah.
Well, thank you, Kate, so much. So the book, again, is Metamorph, Transforming Your Life and Leadership, Inspired Wisdom from the Extraordinary, Ordinary People of the Bible. The publisher and how people can get copies.
So the publisher is 100 Movements Publishing, and people can get copies from the 1st of November. It's available everywhere, Amazon, online. It's ebook, it's a physical copy, it's also audio book. So that's just been completed.
And it's the kind of book that you could use in a small group and maybe your leadership team. So you encourage that. You've got questions at the end, which are enormously helpful to unpack some of the themes. So
fantastic. That's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping everybody picks it up, everybody reads, and reads with other people and reflect together.
Well, it was a joy to read it for this interview, and I'm sure it's going to do really well. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Andy.
That was my conversation with Kate Coleman, the founding director of Next Leadership and author of Metamorph, spelled, of course, Metamorph. I was struck by that challenge, not just to think differently, but to be different, the caterpillar becoming the butterfly. That is the word of God within us, of course, and the Spirit of God working, but aided as we expose ourselves to different contexts and approaches, and maybe read books and attend conferences outside of our normal circle. So maybe it's time to spread your wings a little bit. Structure isn't everything, of course, but hierarchical models that pertain in many churches that are kind of top-down really do have had their day. So I trust you'll be reflecting on that and the kind of things that Kate was saying about a new form of leadership for a new generation. So this is Andy Peck thanking you for your company and looking forward very much to the next time. Bye for now.
The Leadership Show with Andy Peck. To get in touch, email andy.peck@premier.org.uk.
Been listening to The Profile in association with Premier Christianity Magazine.